Which verse is it? To welcome the Charis here. Winnie Chari and Shruti Chari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 19. The killing of the demon here in Yaksha, text 27. Shittau shayanam tamakunta vachasam. Karala dung stung padi dusta dachatam. Ajadeo viksha shasam sir agata. Aho imam konu labheta samstitim. Shittau shayanam tam akunta varchasam. Karala dung sung paridasta dachadam. Ajadeo viksha shasham sir agata. Aho imam konu labheta samstitim. Shittau shayanam tam akunta vartasam. Karala dung stung padi dusta dachadam. Ajadeo viksha shasham sir agata. Aho imam konu labheta samstitim. Shita, on the ground. Shyanam, lying. Tam, Hiranyaksha. Akunta, unfaded. Varchasam, glow. Karala, fearful. Dungstung, teeth. Paridashta, bitten. Dacharam, lip. Ajaadeya, Brahma and others. Viksha, having seen. Shishangsu, admiringly said. Agata, arrived. Aho, oh. Imam, this. Ka, who. Nu, indeed. Labheta, could meet. Sangstiteng, death. Aja, Brahma, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, oh, who could meet such blessed death? Purport. Although the demon was dead, his bodily luster was unfaded. This is very peculiar, because when a man or animal is dead, the body immediately becomes pale. The luster gradually fades, and decomposition takes place. But here, although Hiranyaksha lay dead, his bodily luster was unfaded, because the Lord, the Supreme Spirit, was touching his body. One's bodily luster remains fresh only as long as the spirit soul is present. Although the demon's soul had departed his body, the Supreme Spirit touched the body, and therefore his bodily luster did not fade. The individual soul is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he quits his body is certainly very fortunate, and therefore personalities like Brahma and the other demigods eulogized the death of the demon. Om Agana Chirmanandasya Agananjana Shalakaya Chapshunli Tanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Generally no one considers death to be blessed. Either people do not think about death, or it inspires great terror in them. People today, of course, they don't want to think about death. They get caught up in the feelings of the moment. And that becomes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The feelings of the moment. How my body and mind are feeling right now. Just let it lead me wherever it may. This kind of life is animal life. And it comes from unregulated living. It comes from a lack of an attempt to control the senses. Once you begin to control your senses, then you can exercise some actual shaping of your life without trying to control your mind and senses. Your life is just a runaway. You can't ever catch up to it. But as soon as you try to discipline your mind and senses, then you can start to engineer your life, shape your life. Therefore, so much of our effort in Krishna consciousness is for training the mind and senses. Do not become so overwhelmed with the social aspects of Krishna consciousness that you forget that you're meant to be training your individual mind and senses by engaging them in devotional service of the Lord. Yes, it's true that devotee association is very nice. It's wonderful to have the camaraderie of others who are like-minded in that they share the same goal. But you have to have your individual goal together. If you want to properly benefit from associating with other devotees, you have to come up to the standard. You can't be a drag on everyone in that, oh, I don't really know what I want to do. Anyway, I'll just hang on to everyone else. It's nice to hang on to everyone else, but also you have an individual responsibility that you must meet for yourself. You yourself have to come to grips with this issue of, do you want to control your senses or do you not? Each one of you has to grapple with that point. And don't feel bad that all your life you're grappling with that point. Sometimes devotees become discouraged, like, the same thing I've been going over in my mind for years. I've been battling with this point for years, controlling my mind and senses. What's so long about the short lifetime in Kali Yuga? What's wrong with a lifetime career of controlling your own mind and senses? That is very glorious. Then you become a hero. So what if all your life you're considering how to control your mind and senses? So what? So you just take your hands off the steering wheel and just... It's like you're driving a car every day and you say, all my life I've been holding on to this steering wheel. All my life I've been looking this way, that way for, you know, cars coming, pedestrians crossing. Why don't I just take my hands off the wheel and just let it go? What will happen then? Immediate disaster. Got that newspaper for me? Yes. I asked Kadirvan to get a newspaper for me because there was an article on the front page about a family in Taupo, I believe, that was hit with three severe car accidents in a space of a few days. One brother died in a car accident, and then his sister or something like that was driving home from the funeral with her six-week-old baby. And she had an accident, and she and the six-week-old baby flew out of the car window. That was the end of them. And then the next day, some other relatives were severely, very seriously injured in a car accident. This is life in the material world. Material existence is a tragedy. And the only thing that prevents you from seeing that is your hope for sense gratification. The body, your body instills you with hopes. What we want to do is take that body and engage it in Krishna's service. Have hopes in Krishna's service, then your aspirations will change. You cannot take your hands off the wheel of your life. So therefore, you become accustomed to taking responsibility for your mind and senses and driving appropriately. Now, in order to properly take responsibility for your life and drive your vehicle, your mind has to always be refreshed with Krishna's glories. Hearing Krishna's glories makes sense control easy because your mind becomes overwhelmed with the superior nectar of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And then automatically your senses become peaceful and your senses want to engage in Krishna's service because in your mind is the predominant attitude of serving Krishna's senses. That is your natural self. The more you hear Krishna's glories, the more you can function as your natural self. The more you want to have the proper attitude in devotional service. We've always explained this point. Krishna consciousness is so much about attitude because it's a personal thing. Just like you, in any personal relationship, mundane or whatever, the attitude of the other person is very important. You're always checking the attitude of the person you're dealing with, whether it's husband and wife, partners, whatever you want to call it these days, friends, disciples, spiritual masters always checking the attitude of the disciples. Is it favorable to Krishna? Of course, the disciples, they're checking the attitude of their guru. Does he notice me? Does he care for me? Is he going to acknowledge my material desires? Or is he going to try to push me too quick back to Godhead? Everyone's always noticing everyone's attitude. So why can't Krishna notice attitudes? And we should be concerned that Krishna detects a very wonderful attitude in us. The very wonderful attitude means dedication to Krishna's pleasure. This is where we're at. This is the self of our self. Dedication to Krishna's pleasure. Make up your mind you're going to do that, and then you'll become peaceful. Now, if you're actually going to dedicate yourself to Krishna's pleasure, you have to get yourself in shape. Just like an athlete who dedicates himself or herself to winning the marathon or something, a runner. You can't just, okay, I dedicate myself to this athletic competition, this swimming marathon in the harbor or something. No, you've got to get yourself in shape to run the race. And generally, athletes are very conscientious about how they conduct themselves, because they don't want to minimize their chances for competition. They want to keep the competitive edge. It's a great contradiction in Western so-called civilization that all Olympic trainers know to advise their athletes in the Olympics, don't engage in conjugal affairs before your Olympic event. Now, they don't take that to its logical conclusion. Why is that? Because such activity drains the body and mind. They know enough to tell the Olympic stars, don't do this before the gold medal competition. But they can't figure it out all the way. This is the blinding power of Maya. If we're serious about the goal, then we have to consider what are the favorable behaviors for obtaining that goal. Once you make up your mind to dedicate yourself to Krishna's pleasure, you'll become peaceful. And then you go about honing your skills, shaping your life, so that you can get this ultimate destination. It is possible. You have to work at it. What's wrong with working on these things? Why are we so lazy? It's passion and ignorance that make us so lazy. So don't feel disturbed that, oh, for 15 years I've been battling with these thoughts. That battle is having its effect. You're gradually becoming in charge of yourself. It takes a while to reclaim your life back from the clutches of passion and ignorance. You think it's just 1, 2, 3 years? Yes, immediately, as soon as you take up Krishna consciousness, there'll be improvement. But you've got to appreciate the depths of degradation that people are sunk in these days. You have to appreciate the depths of degradation that you're coming out of. So immediately you're going to feel some change. As soon as the tongue touches the holy name, there's a transformation. But to become established in devotion, that takes some time. But it's actually a short time because your life is so short. It's like I was remarking to someone yesterday. Krishna Loka told me she's 40. I remember when she was 28. So short. When you were 28, did you ever think you'd be 40? No, you just thought you'd be like the way you were then. We don't think about these things. Such a short time. Then in even a shorter time, you'd be 50, then 60. You see, when you're a teenager, like Celie, time seems to drag. Oh, how am I going to fill the time? Oh, it's boring here in this town. What am I going to do? How am I going to fill the time? Just the hours just crawl from morning till night. So bored. Who am I going to talk to? What am I going to do? But as you get older, the psychological perception of time gets faster. And then you start thinking, I don't have enough time to do anything. That's what most adults say. I got no time. It's like my mother told me at the age of 75. She just looked back and said, where did all the time go? So you shouldn't think that you have so much time to dilly and dally and speculate. And you should think your time is very short. So what's wrong with investing one short lifetime in becoming the master of your mind and senses and undergoing some training to do that? What's wrong with that? Such a short life. Gradually you'll be successful. So you have to understand this is the way bhakti yoga reveals itself. There's an immediate effect and there's a gradual effect. You get the short range effect and you get the long range effect. What's wrong with waiting your whole life to get the long range effect? Such a short life. You have to hear these things again and again. And one day it starts to click. My life is so short. What's wrong with dedicating my life for pleasing Krishna? What's wrong with, even if I think it's a fight, a battle, what's wrong with a battle for controlling my mind and senses in this short life? Just like when you're playing in some athletic match. Everyone knows it's limited time, 1 hour, 2 hours, or whatever. So everyone concentrates for that time. Similarly, you have a short life. Concentrate for that short time. Be aware of things that will break your concentration and distract you, carry you away from your goal. You have to always be watching for that, because that is the nature of the material world, to provide stumbling blocks. Maya doesn't give you a fair chance, in case you haven't noticed. Maya does not give you a fair go. Krishna gives you more than a fair chance, but not Krishna's material energy, Maya. The job of Maya is to bewilder you. So you have to expect that in this material world, where you wanted to come, there's going to be constant allurements thrown at you. That's just the way it is. There's no need for you to pull your hair about it. Why? Why all these allurements? Why? That's the nature of the material atmosphere. But Krishna is also alluring. The more you become allured by Krishna himself, the safer you become from the attacks of Maya. Krishna is alluring to all of our senses. This is what Lord Chaitanya demonstrates, how to have all your senses attracted by the Lord. Lord Chaitanya would say that his mind is being pulled in five directions by the form, fragrance, taste, touch sensation, and the sound of Krishna. There are five different directions, and his mind is like riding in all these five directions at the same time, going in different directions. The result is just the Lord became unconscious with ecstasy. Everything about Krishna is alluring. His flute playing, his singing, the sight of his bodily form, the fragrance of his body, the taste of his body. These are the sense objects that we're actually looking for. The more you bathe your consciousness in Krishna's glories, the more you become safe from the false allurements of Maya. Otherwise, you cannot conquer Maya. Not possible. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita. You can't handle it. Daivyesha gunamayi mamumayadraya. Krishna tells you point blank. Not possible. You can analyze and analyze and analyze the illusions of Maya, and you'll still fall victim to them. That's why it is said amongst persons studying history at the university, the only thing people really learn from studying history is that no one learns from studying history. They just make the same mistakes again and again. Yes, an important part of bhakti is analyzing Maya, but it's not just that. Analyzing Maya without a chance to be attracted to Krishna will be futile. Yes, we should analyze the nature of the illusions around us. We should understand the nature of the illusions presented by our bodies and minds. But we should know that side by side, simultaneously, we are being allured. And we should always make it so our life is wide open for Krishna enticement, Krishna allurement. The door should always be open. We should pledge ourselves for Krishna's pleasure and then go about doing the necessary. So what? If it requires some effort. It's amazing how lazy people are these days. It's a great honor to struggle for Krishna. You'd have to struggle in this world anyway. I told you before, when I see the older people in New Zealand, they have such a twisted look in their face. Because they had some good karma to take birth here when things were a bit more peaceful. But they've misused that good karma. They have some good intelligence, but they've misused it. And so by the time they get into their 50s, they have this just very frustrated look on their face. Miserly look. You have wealth, but you don't know how to spend it. In this short lifetime, if you use what you have for Krishna's pleasure, then more and more Krishna consciousness will reveal itself to you. You'll be amazed how much potency there is in this bhakti process as coming down through the disciplic succession. You'll be amazed. The more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you just can't chant enough Hare Krishna. You'll start to see, after some years, when you finish your 16 rounds, you start to think, is that all? I know it may sound impossible now. Probably when you finish your 16 rounds now, you say, oh, okay, got that out of the way. But as the years go by, you're going to start thinking, wow, that went so quickly, 16 rounds. At all. You're hungry for more. When you eat, you're satisfied. When you chant Hare Krishna, you're satisfied, but your appetite also increases. So you're going to start to realize that as the years go by. The more you chant, the more you want to chant. You're satisfied, but you're hungry at the same time. That is a spiritual emotion. Generally, when you're hankering for more, you're not satisfied. But when you chant the holy name with attention, you're satisfied, but you just want more. You just keep thinking, that was just too quick. And when you read Krishna's pastimes when you read the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You just wonder, will I ever get to the bottom of this? Every time I look at it, the depths just get deeper and deeper. So when you have that kind of feeling, you should know you're on the right track of developing your spiritual greed. We want you all to be alive with spiritual desires. And don't be afraid to push yourself. There's no harm in pushing yourself. Sometimes there's this subconscious propaganda that, oh, if it's going to come, it should just come naturally. I shouldn't push myself. Everything I do in devotional service should just happen nicely and naturally without me pushing myself. No. Pushing for Krishna is very glorious because you're pushing for the right thing, the natural thing. So don't just wait for when you feel, when you're in the mood for serving Krishna. Push for Krishna's service anytime, any place, any day, anywhere. That pushing to please Krishna is your natural self. It's not artificial. Sometimes there's that fear. I don't want to push myself in devotional service. I might snap. How many of you said, I don't want to push myself in sense gratification. I might snap. Anyone said, no, you didn't say that. That was never your anxiety. But for Krishna, yeah, we'll lay that trip on Krishna. Devotional service is your natural activity. It is not harmful. You just have to perform devotional service with intelligence, guidance. You can't blame Krishna if you don't take guidance. Krishna says to do that in Bhagavad Gita. So many of you are doing book distribution now. I was watching yesterday, Hey Sue, and did you see me? And I saw Krishna Loka longer than she thought. So you might think, will I ever really like this? But Krishna will give you the taste if you push for it, if you persevere. See, real love is built on perseverance. Perseverance means duty. We're working hard to get devotees into a consciousness of duty, because then you can start to make spiritual advancement once you have duty consciousness. And the duty consciousness will lead to raga, a spontaneous attraction. You'll never get to raga, spontaneous attraction, without duty consciousness. Unless you get some abnormal special mercy from the Lord, but don't wait around for it. Krishna's independent. But why are we so hesitant about Krishna? It's because we don't know Krishna. Why don't we get to know Krishna more? We have ample opportunity. You get to know Krishna more through devotional service, especially by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. When it comes to Krishna, everyone is so cautious and reserved and, you know, calculating. When it comes to the mode of passion, ignorance, oh, well. It's like I was speaking to one young lady, Sunday, 25 years old. She was caught up in an affair with a 55-year-old man. The man had told her she was 47, actually. He was 47, actually. He's 55. You know, she found out that later. And she knows it's a totally ridiculous arrangement, but, well, you know, she said, That's just love, you know? I just looked at it like, no, I don't know. It's just like a thing you kind of say, you know, in the material world when everyone nods their head. Yeah, yeah, that's love. Yeah, that's, yeah, what can you do? It's just inexplicable, you know? It's just one of those things. I asked her, how old is your father? Oh, my father's 45. I said, so this man is 55? He's older than your father? 10 years older than your father? This is a bit strange. Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's love. It's all understandable. It's love. You know, it's just one of those things, the love thing, you know, just when you're in it, it's just, you know, doesn't make sense all the time, but, you know, you just got to go with it as far as it goes. It's love, you know. If she would only trust Krishna that much, it's just Krishna, you know. Yeah, you just go with it, you know. It's just devotional service, you know. Yeah, I know. I'm out on Sankirtan and no one's taking books, you know. And I want, you know, I could wonder, what am I doing here? But, you know, it's just Sankirtan, you know. You know, it's one of those things. You just go with it, you know. Why can't you say like that? Yes, I know, chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes I don't feel like doing it. Sometimes I, you know, struggle with it. Then some days I get a really ecstatic feeling from chanting. But, you know, it's just, this is chanting, you know. You stick with it, you know, it's just chanting. No, we don't have that attitude because we're envious of Krishna. So we're very calculating. We're very demanding of Krishna. He has to give us everything immediately. The burden is on Krishna to prove himself. We're very cautious about doing too much for Krishna. But for the illusions of material life, everyone's very forgiving of Maya. Very understanding of Maya. But for Krishna, oh, we're very skeptical, calculating. So it's interesting. Why not take the attitude of this girl and apply it to devotional service? You know, it's just bhakti, you know. It's Krishna. He's, you know, it's just Sankirtan, you know. It's the way it is, you know. Seems like I'm not getting any material benefit from what I'm doing, but I never wanted material benefit anyway. I'm trying to understand what is God. So if you act in this way, you'll become happy in Krishna's service. Give Krishna a chance. Just take leave of your skeptical mind for a while and give Krishna a chance to reveal himself to you. This is not blind faith. This is how to act so Krishna will show you, yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I can be understood through devotional service. Just take leave of your rascal mind for a while. And just say, yeah, it's just bhakti, you know, service, you know, you just do it, it's, you know. Year after year. Then, with that favorable attitude, Krishna will become pleased and let you see more of the spiritual reality. It's amazing. Everyone in the material world is doing things based on completely irrational motivations. In devotional service, we have all the best reasons to serve Krishna. We're reading the most glorious literatures every day. So why do we have to be so hung up and so, you know, so complicated about it? Give Krishna a chance to reveal himself. Engage in devotional service with a favorable attitude. If you're smart, every day you'll thank Krishna for the opportunity to engage in his service. Those who are doing book distribution, you thank Lord Chaitanya that you can do that service, even though sometimes it is tough, Even every day it may be tough. Still, be thankful. Have that attitude. Everyone likes gratitude. You would like someone to be grateful to you. Suppose you're sitting here now and someone comes walking in that you met on the street. I said, you know, I got one of those books. I started reading it. I read it all night. You were the one who sold it to me. I thank you so much. How would you feel? Wow, Sankatanki Chai. So why can't you do that for Krishna? Never mind how your material senses feel. Thank Krishna for the opportunity to spread his glories. Sometimes I know it seems like, especially if you're preaching a long time, it may seem like you're saying the same things over and over again. But never fall into the trap of thinking, oh, how many persons have I told they should chant Hare Krishna? You start out one round a week or two rounds a week. Find a number that you can start with comfortably and maintain. Then every week you increase one or two rounds. How many persons have I told this? Gosh, I'm going to do this all my life. Yes, why not do it all your life? If you, while you're saying those words, you pray to Krishna, please let me understand their full purport. Krishna will show you unlimited depths in the so-called same words. You might say to yourself, how many times have I told people they're not the body? You could do that mechanically, or you could pray to Krishna, please help me to realize what I'm saying. Please help me to say what I'm saying with more and more ability to affect people. So it's all depending on your heart. Gradually you'll find that your heart's feelings for others are increasing so much. You might be saying the same thing, but your heart starts to expand and grow, and the people can feel that. The devotees can feel that. Now, though you're saying the same thing, the heart's impact is increasing. We started on this subject by commenting about Lord Brahma looking at the dead Hiranyaksha, the tusked demon lying on the ground biting his lip. Kshatriyas, when they die, they always bite their lip to show that their prowess even at the moment of death. They didn't flinch, they didn't give in even at the moment of death. They were still fierce and combative. A Kshatriya who died like that in a proper battle would go to the heavenly planets. Lord Brahma is noting the glow on Hiranyaksha's body. The glow was still there in his face, even though he was dead. So Brahma said with admiration, oh, what a blessed death. In other words, I want to die like that. What is considered a blessed death these days, according to mundane standards? When you die in your sleep, right? It happened to some of your relatives, and they all say, oh, it was a nice death. She peacefully passed away in her sleep. Oh, that's nice. That's considered a blessed death. But here we see Lord Brahma saying, the blessed death is even when killed, one has contact with Krishna. Hiranyaksha was personally killed by the Supreme Lord. Very nonchalantly, you recall yesterday's verse. The Lord with just one of his hands, Lord Bor just slapped him at the root of the ear. Nonchalantly. Just. And that was the end of Hiranyaksha. What did that nonchalant tap from Lord Bor do? as stated, though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets. His arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. To be killed by Krishna is glorious, but still there's much better ways to relate to Krishna. Nevertheless, the great devotees always appreciate the demon's intensity of absorption, and they pray to have that same kind of absorption. I hope you notice that this world is not a very pleasant place. It is a struggle. So why not just accept that the world's not a very pleasant place? It's a place of the threefold miseries. Miseries of the body and mind. Miseries brought about by other people who just don't do what you want them to do. Miseries brought about by nature as supervised by the demigods. If you just accept that this is not a very nice place to live, then you won't be so easily susceptible for attachment. If you just understand, this is just not a nice place to live. I don't want to make a permanent place here. I want to finish my business and leave. Very ferocious place with birth and death happening all the time. Just think to be born again in a womb, stay in a womb. It's so painful you forgot. Just packed up in such cramped quarters, practically you're suffocating when you're in the womb. Your back is arched like a bow. Your back is arched in such a way that no yoga class could teach you that. You're bent in such a painful position, and you practically can't breathe, and you can't move. All you can do every once in a while is kick. The mother feels your kicks. Of course, the mother thinks, oh, how nice, I'm feeling the kicks of my baby inside. Mother has no idea how much suffering the baby's going through. If the child is a great devotee, the child's fortunate. The child can see Krishna in the womb because the child starts to pray. Please, Krishna, I promise you, once I get out of this womb, I'll just serve you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about that, seeing Krishna in the womb once and praying like that. And then he describes how, but as soon as he came out of the womb, surrounded by loving relations, you forget all about the miseries of birth. Do you want to live in a womb again? That you have to ask yourself. What is your next destination? And what is the nature of the energy in this world that is blinding you from seeing the reality? We have the external energy all around us, and then we have bodies which are the product of sinful activities in the past life. That's why these bodies throw sinful impulses into your consciousness, because these bodies are produced out of sin. You have to have a practical understanding of that. You think your body is your friend. That is the problem. But the body is actually meant for your problems. It causes you problems by throwing into your mind, projecting into your mind, sinful desires. Because the body is born under the influence of the modes of nature, according to what you did in your past life. So, don't expect a nice ride from your body. Don't expect a good time. Sometimes devotees, they get sick for a while. It's actually Krishna's mercy. Of course, everything is Krishna's mercy for a devotee. It really cuts your enjoying spirit. I remember I became sick when I was 25. Didn't really recover until I was 45. And yes, I could now look back and see it really just diminished the enjoying spirit. Life is, material life is meant to be experienced when you're healthy. But the contradiction is that health doesn't last. When you're not healthy, you really quickly lose your attachment for material life. Please try to understand what you're dealing with. Be serious about your own life, knowing that it's very short. So think how to set your life up so you can be Krishna conscious. That's different styles for different types of conditioning. Still, you have to think how to set your life up for Krishna consciousness. To be Krishna conscious, you have to have guidance, good association, proper circumstances for chanting the holy name. You have to invest the proper amount of time in reading the glories of the Lord. These are all necessary for you to go where you should go. Any questions? There are steps being taken for organized official arrangements, like in Vrindavan, building a Vrindavan or Mayapur, they're making a widow's ashram for older single ladies. What we have seen that although there's no, at this point, no organized situation, everyone's been taken care of. Devotees become sympathetic. And, well, you're worried what will happen to you in your old age? How old are you worried about? It depends. It depends on the devotee's ashram. It depends on the devotee's consciousness. Some devotees are getting married in their late 50s. They're obviously not worried about their retirement. I know one kirtan leader, my godbrother, he's approaching 60. And he's marrying a 23-year-old girl. What does that say for the end of his life? She told me, yeah, I know I'm going to have to serve him when he gets older, but I mean, when he gets older... Yeah, I know, I'm going to have to take care of him, but I'm ready to do that. She says that now. She asked me, well, what do you think? And, oh, I'm not saying anything about this one. Yeah. Often if you tell ladies something they don't want to hear, they get very angry. I said, oh, I'm not saying anything, you know. You asked me. I didn't say anything about this, you know. And she kept pushing me, so I finally said, well, I said, well, you know, age is not the important thing. It's true love. That's what counts. I kind of So, yeah, that's what I thought. So, hey, I was just joking. No, it is a sad thing that older devotees, instead of winding things down at the age of 50, they're going into more entanglements. It's sad. It's not what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Srila Prabhupada's desire was, okay, those who become householders, they come out of it at some point in their life, retire, and are able to get back into full-time missionary activities. But there's no way you're going to do that by remarrying in your 50s, especially to a young girl. It's individual, because everyone has individual visions. Some are very worried about it. They save money. They buy land in Vrindavan, something like that. Others are not worried about it. You know, when you're dying, you're dying. Just go to the holy dham and give up your body. You know, there's the Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai. You know, they take care of devotees for a very small, very, very small fee. Fraction, tiny fraction of what it would cost the hospital here. And as I said, for single ladies, facilities are being constructed, I believe, in Mayapur. Single older ladies. So, Krishnaloka, when you become 70, you'll have a place to go. It's 30 more years. Many, you know, they just retire at home. They just live together at home and just get old. Depends. It's all individual. A few are using the opportunity to get back into more full service. Too few are doing that, though. Maya is very strong. It's like my godbrother, Borijan Prabhu, Prabhupada told him, when you're 50, you can take sannyas. So now he's in his 50s, he's winding down his family affairs, his daughter's 28, trying to get her married, you know. His son is doing his thing and he's 21 or something like that. So he's winding down. That's a proper example. Others, they're winding up. They're going the opposite. You gotta have one more chance to enjoy. So it's all individual. Hopefully, you'll be winding things down when you reach 50. According to the Vedic system, 50 years old means yellow light. Red light is coming. But a lot of people are seeing green light at the age of 50. To die in circumstances of material attachment is very, very, it's a great tragedy. So death is something we'll all have to deal with. But note the power of Maya. As soon as you start thinking about this, and the material energy pushes, just you can't go on like thinking like that. This is impractical. But it is possible to be constantly alert for death. A devotee should always be thinking like that. I could die at any moment. I could give up the spot at any moment. What will my consciousness be? You can train your mind to be like that. But once again, training is required. Anything else? It's right to say probably they did. Hearing is the last sense to go. So if they're fortunate to hear the holy name as they're giving up the body, it's like, Prabhupada would say like that, probably they went back to God. Generally, it's hard to say from the external point of view what's going on in the consciousness at the time of death. All you can do is give someone the best facilities possible to hear about Krishna. Sometimes you can tell with Krishna conscious vision. When I looked at the picture of my departed god brother, Sridhar Maharaj, left, I think, last year, or this year, was it? This year. I just took one look at his face after his departure, and I could see such a peaceful, relaxed look on the face. Of course, the greatest example is Srila Prabhupada, who left this world opening his mouth and saying, "Krish," and left. Right in the middle of the holy name, Krishna. And it is so, if you leave this world in Mayapur or Vrindavan, Mayapur's Gupta Braj, hidden Vrindavan, you go back to Godhead. Regardless. Just go back to Godhead. Unless you've committed sinful activities in the holy Dham, and then you take birth as a pig in Vrindavan, then after one lifetime you go back to Godhead. So, what will it be for you? And you have a background of pious activity, jananam punya karmanam. So, what is your question? Antakata papam. Papam, when you stop your sinful activities. If you follow the four regular principles, you've stopped your sinful activities. And where do you get your punya from? Your piety? Once devotees ask, Srila Prabhupada. Says that you need a background of pious activities to perform devotional service. What happened to us? And Brahma said, I created your pious activities. Yes. You're following Lord Chaitanya. Participating in the Sankirtan movement. Your pious activities are created. And if you're following the regular principles, you've made a stop. Antakata papa. Sinful activity. And then, bhajante mam jidha vrata. You can perform devotional service with determination. Devotional service is the supreme pious activity. It's not actually a pious activity, but just to give you some way of understanding it, it's said to be the topmost pious activity. by your meeting people on the street during this Christmas marathon, you're transforming their lives. You're giving them pious activity at least. Actually, you're giving more than that. You're giving devotional service to Krishna. The main problem with our devotees, speaking in general, is they don't stick to Krishna consciousness, and therefore they can't perceive the lasting value. Stick means this whole short life. You all make a big deal about 20 or 30 years in bhakti. That's actually a short time. Very short time. No big deal. They don't have a direct effect, but indirectly they do, because what's in the mind has some effect on what you do with your body. The subtle does affect the gross. In other ages, there's a complete direct effect. Just like you read in the ninth canto, I believe, about Jamadagni and his wife. So Jamadagni, Parashuram's father, his wife went to get some materials for the yajna, and while she was at the river, she saw someone. Here, who knows? What did she see? She became attracted to someone, and so she delayed. And Jamadagni, by his mystic powers, he knew, my wife is late bringing back the materials for the yajna because she was attracted to someone else. So, he finished her off. That's other ages. In Kali Yuga, everyone would be dead. Did he finish her off, or he had Parashuram do it? But Parashuram did it in such a way that some special result came about. So that was then, different ages. Still, you shouldn't dismiss the mind so lightly. Oh, you can't make offenses with your mind, so let my mind run wild. No. An uncontrolled mind will sooner or later lead to uncontrolled senses. There is a relationship between the subtle and gross, but it's not as direct as in other ages. Sometimes devotees get disturbed by thoughts in their mind, sinful memories. Take it that the super soul is giving you a choice. This is what you want. And by your rejecting it, you become stronger. You reject it by choosing to engage in Krishna's service. It's a fun battle after a while. Maya throws something up on the screen in your mind. What about this? Ah! And you fight back. Well, what about that? I'm going to dance. I'm going to read. I'm going to engage in devotional service. Ah! It's like, you know, when boxers start slugging each other. One boxer pounds the other boxer pounds back. So, when Maya pounds you, you've got to know how to pound back. Maya makes a punch at you. Take this! Remember. And your brain starts to cook. Don't just cook. Fight back. Just like Maya slugged you, you slugged back by engaging in devotional service. Just like, the hell with you, I'm going to chant. So get out of my life. I'm going on Sankirtan. There's so much opportunity for service. When Maya starts to cook your brains, you can just say, I'm just going to go in the kitchen and clean the whole kitchen myself. Yeah. Who's stopping you? Anyone saying, no, no, don't do any devotional service. Just sit somewhere, let your brains cook. So you have to know how to practically take care of yourself in Krishna consciousness. You need a bit of a fighting mentality. Just don't be a pushover for Maya. Oh, I've got attacks from Maya. Oh, no. What am I going to do? It's been the same thing now for 2 whole years. There's no harm in fighting back all your life. In fact, the fight gets sweeter and sweeter. Maya kicks you, you kick back by engaging in devotional service. That's the only way to defeat Maya, otherwise you can't win. So therefore, Maya always tries to obscure or make dark and cloudy the true potential devotional service in your mind. So you won't take shelter of it, and then you're conquered easily. But as soon as Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes rise in your life like the sun, all the fog goes away. The more you see that, the stronger you'll get. You'll have that realization. Don't expect there's not going to be any difficulties. This is a difficult world. Don't expect that there won't be challenges to your Krishna consciousness. But Krishna is always there to help. And if you're performing devotional service under guidance, you can cross over any obstacle. All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Glory to you.